All right, everybody smile. I like to start with a smile. Everyone smile, look beautiful. You look beautiful. I want my wife to come. My wife of 53 years, 54 in the 22nd day of November. We got married in 1969. Husbands, remember your anniversaries. All right, sweetheart, come. No, I'm talking husbands to each, you know, each husband has a wife. Not wives, a wife. All right. And I want to read one verse to you because I want to, this needs to be a practice too, all right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Sweetheart, I give honor to you. I told them yesterday in the good times, she's been by my side. In the difficult times, she's been by my side. My wife, the mother of three children. We have three sons-in-law and nine grandchildren. And every husband needs to honor your wife. And thank God they put up with you. As she has put up with me, she needs a medal of honor, all right? And so, sweetheart, go ahead.
It's hard to get serious with that, isn't it? But I was sitting there thinking, oh, if he calls me, what is on my heart? What am I feeling this morning? And it's got nothing to do with what he was talking about. But then he flashed up. I never know what he's going to speak on. That's just a thing we always do. If I'm preaching, I seek the Lord and I get a word from the Lord, and he never tells me or the musicians at church what he's going to speak on. But I was sitting there and I was thinking about the love of God, and then he puts that up there. So probably got to do with what he's going to preach. But you know, often what the devil goes after all of us is our knowing how much God loves us and receiving his love. The devil is, we are the object of his attacks because God loves us so much. And he works very hard at us, sometimes doubting when we go through things, doubting how much God loves us, and God has got our back. And you know, that's when the lack of trust comes in and fear comes in, but God loves us so much. If he can get us to doubt how much God loves us, then we will have a hard time trusting God. And we will fear. We will fall into fear. But he's got us. God has got us. He's promised us he'll never leave us. He'll never forget. Never leave our side. And so we have to make that we have to be very intentional in our walk with the Lord, no matter how long we've been serving the Lord, to never forget. And in those moments when we're going through stuff, how much God loves us, that he hasn't forgotten you. You're not left behind. The words that God has spoken over your life, what he has begun, he will finish it. Amen. The only one that can abort that plan is us. If we just jump off the ship and we say, you know, this doesn't work. God didn't really mean what he said. That's what the devil goes after, that doubt. So I just wanted to remind us of that. I think you all know that. But I know God reminds me that. I don't have a lot of trouble accepting the love of God because I had a very loving earthly father that I was the center of his world. But I know that's not the case with everyone. That's not the case with everyone. And some people have a harder time knowing that God loves them and that he's there and he's never going to leave us, never going to abandon us. Amen?
Close your eyes. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I love you and honor you with all my heart. I ask, Lord, that you would lead me and guide me this day. Lord, I know that everyone here and everyone online, Lord, that is watching, that you love them. Lord, I know that everyone here and everyone online, they're valuable. Lord, and I know that everyone here and everyone online in the whole world, you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. And Lord, this day I just yield myself to you, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen and amen. All right. I have a subject on my mind, and I've got to hurry up because time is flying. But there's something in my heart that wants to share. There's so much confusion about what love is. And so sometimes I don't really know what it is. God have mercy. What is love? What is love itself? Is it simply a feeling that can come and go? It's there sometimes and it's gone. Is it conditional? All right, as long as you make me happy, I will love you. But the day you don't make me happy, the love is gone. The truth is that in our society, marriage can be temporary. And outside of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the next important person in my life is my spouse, is my wife. Jesus is number one. Everyone say amen. But then my spouse, my wife. Now we find over here that what is a Christian, a biblical view about love itself, it's just not a strong feeling, because sometimes you can have so strong feelings, and then sometimes when you disagree, you can have other kinds of feelings. Sometimes it's not unconditional. It is unconditional. It is a choice that requires commitment and work. Every marriage requires commitment and work. Can I hear an amen there? Because marriage in God's eyes is a love covenant not to be broken. If people look for a divorce, you'll find a divorce. Occasionally, I will actually come to my wife and say, sweetheart, can you tell me how I can make your life just a little bit better? Sweetheart, do I say that occasionally? All the time. Now, you're not lying there because I'm up here, right? It's not worth going to hell over. That's exactly the truth. And so the point is, sometimes because of love, I will go to her and says, how can I make your life just a little bit better? Now, I've said this and I believe this. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, only two imperfect people who do not give up on each other. Right? Now, the problem with the word love in the English language is this. We have one word for love. I love God and I love my dog. I love my house. I love my children. I love the car and I love the clothes. And so in English, we have one word for love, and it covers all of them. So do you love God more or the dog more? All right, because in English, you can't tell the difference. You love one or the other, but we don't know the difference itself. Now, what I want to share with you, there are actually four primary Greek words. And I know, I said, don't talk about Greek. We need to know a little bit, just a little bit, all right? So there are four primary Greek words to describe the concept of love. And so I want you to understand this a little bit. And these four words over here are eros, sturgio, philia, and agape. And each one of them describes love in a different area. All right, the word eros itself, out of these four Greek words that we actually have, the word eros is one word that is not found in the Bible itself. And the word eros actually is the Greek term for sexual love and where we get the word erotic from. In the Greek culture, the word referred to sensual, carnal impulses to satisfy or gratify the sexual desires of the flesh. And so here, there's people going on pornography. They're going on looking for things because they want to get excited over here. And it shares a common word, which means to ask, to beg, or to demand. And this confirms that eros is not a giving type of love. Rather, it denotes a sexual demand. If you love me, sometimes people that are single and the man will come along and say, if you love me, you will give me what I want. And they're demanding eros. It's very interesting that this word never appears once in the New Testament. I was amazed by that. Oh, my Lord. Should we have exciting marital love? And the answer is yes. I believe that with all my heart. But it's not found in the New Testament. Let me go a little bit further. Now, in the New Testament, regardless of whether the context is friendship, brotherhood, or romance, all believers are urged to continually operate from the perspective of agape love, and I'll get to that in just a few moments. Now, the second word for love over here, sturgio. The word sturgio primarily pictures the love that exists between parents and children, or a love that exists between members of a family. So parents love their children, a special word here. Brothers and sisters love each other, a special word. And sometimes we look at people and say, I love my family more than, sometimes they even say more than God. My family is first. No. God is first. I said God is first. Right? Do you love? Day? The truth is, because I love God, I can love my wife into a higher degree. Because I love God, I can love my parents. I can love my children. I can love my grandparents. Even though this is a family type of love here, but it's a different type altogether. All right. In fact, this word sturgio is only used in the negative in the New Testament. We find that in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 3. They will be unloving and unforgiving. It's talk about the perilous times in the Bible itself. And it says there will be a generation that comes that are unloving, and they're even unloving to the family. The most important person in the whole universe is me. And I can love myself to the degree that I don't care about anybody else. That generation there says, oh, Lord, the strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. And that's what's happening even right now. The third word over here for love is the word philia, and the word describes affection, such as the affection between a boyfriend and girlfriend, their affability between two close friends. And you have friends, you have relationships. You have, my granddaughter taught me about BFF. I didn't know what BFF stood for. She told me a few years ago, best friends forever. So there is a love between friends. But sometimes love between friends, hey, the very same love, they can later on hate each other. I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to talk to you at all. So, but it carries this love of two or more people who feel compatible, well-matched, well-suited, and complementary to each other. Do you have special friends? Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Now, the fourth Greek word over here is the word agape. This is the word chiefly used in the New Testament to depict the love of God. And we find it over here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, agape, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Agape love occurs when an individual sees and recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. The greatest scripture on the word of agape, we all know what this is. It's called John chapter 3 and verses over here, 16 and 17. The Bible says, for this is how God loved the world. The word agape. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That means that God looked upon mankind, even though man was lost in sin, and God admired man. He wondered at man. He held mankind in the highest appreciation. Even though mankind was held captive by Satan at that moment, God looked upon the world and saw his own image in man. The human race was so precious to God, and he loved man so deeply that his heart was stirred to reach out and do something to save him. In other words, God's love drove him to action. Agape love, you sacrifice. It's not a give me, because real love gives, not demands. We have a contrasting terms over here, and I want to show you that. Eros is self-seeking love. What is best for me? What kind of sexual fulfillment can I have? What can I get out of this? We find over here that sturgio is limited only to one's family and nobody else. Filial love over here is based on mutual satisfaction and can feel disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed with a friend? Whereas agape love isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. We all know over here in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 18, we know what real love, agape, is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love agape, each other, but let us show the truth by our actions, because it's not what you say, it's what you do. And you can say the right terminology, I love you, but I want to use you. And sometimes that love is, I want to abuse you. Worst is even misuse you. But no, Lord, no, no, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 1 says, let love, agape, be your highest goal, but you should also give the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So out of all here, the fruit of the Spirit, it always starts with love. The reason is God is love. It's not that God has love. God, His very essence is love. Do you understand that? And as we as children of God, our very essence needs to be, hey, Lord, we love you and we want to imitate you. Now, little children, when they're born, they never think of anybody else. It's mine. I got grandchildren, when they were little, they all, we had a drawer full of toys in our kitchen, but it seemed how they always wanted that the very same toy. Do you understand that? Mine. And the little horns would pop up, mine. Oh, they would turn their back, no, mine. And they would fight. Our children are not grown. You know, they don't understand agape love. Oh, they understand, hey, this is mine, and you're not taking it from me. I don't care if I hit you or not, but it's mine. God. So the Lord is saying, let the agape love be the goal of your life. Important love, agape concepts over here. If agape is the basis of our sexual relationship with our spouse instead of eros, we will always seek to serve and please our spouse rather than being self-centered and focused only on our needs. If you can't say amen, just say oh me very quietly. Oh me, Lord. Oh, Lord, okay. I got to have a little fun, too. My time is, oh, Lord. If agape is the basis of our family relationships rather than Sergio, we will always remain devoted to our family regardless of the disappointments that may come along the way. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. But the father loved the prodigal son. And the father, oh God, the son left. But the father didn't stop praying. He kept on looking. The Bible says when he saw him afar off, every day he got up and looked. How long did it take? I don't know. But the father didn't give up. He kept on praying, kept on believing, kept on trusting. We have three daughters, two of our daughters and their husbands are elders in our local church, and one daughter is working on her testimony. That's what I want to say. She's working on her test. Have I given up? No. Am I still praying? Yes. I get up in the day, is this the day? It didn't happen today. Don't worry, there's another day. I'm not giving up. I said, I'm not giving up. I said, I'm not giving up. You're not going to give up on your backslidden family members. Tell me amen. Oh, we keep on praying. We keep on believing. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your house will be saved. Oh, my Lord. Oh, God, help me. We keep on praying. We keep on believing. We keep on trusting God. We keep on honoring God and obeying God. And in God's timing, He will do what He promised. Can I hear an amen? So we find over here, the Father did not give up on the Son. Now, I've heard natural fathers at times come along and say, I don't care about the Son. It's like I had a hat, I cut the bottom of the hat out, and now my son can fall through. I've never heard a mother talk like that, but I've heard some natural fathers talk like that, but I've never heard the spiritual father talk like that, because he loves everybody. Can I hear an amen? And it's not his will for any man to perish. Jesus didn't die upon the cross for people, for the Lord to send people to hell. The problem is God doesn't send them. The problem is when you reject Jesus, you don't have any other choices. All right. Oh, good. Okay, got to hurry up. Oh, Lord. All right. Okay. I think I did that one. All right. Okay. Number four. All right. In fact, if agape is the driving motivation of our lives and the force behind all our relationships, it will make us to be the best, most devoted, faithful, and reliable friend anyone has ever known. In conclusion, we may say, but how can I possess such agape love? Is it really possible for me to regularly exhibit such love in my life to other people? If we are seeking to walk in the kind of love that originates in the power of our flesh, it would be impossible, for the flesh is selfish, self-focused, and therefore cannot love that highly. But we find in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5 over here, I went through this, Romans 5 and verse number 5, and for this hope, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how clearly, dearly, God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Therefore, when I became born again, the Spirit of God came in me. Do you understand that? And he put his love inside of me. He put his sperm inside of me, the Word of God. In fact, when I first got born again, my DNA, inside that DNA is my future. The very plan and will of God was given to me from the time I received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know it or understand it, just like you didn't know and understand what abilities that you would have or whatever, but we're all unique individuals. Can I hear an amen? But the Lord gave that to us. Now, through his love being poured into our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, I can love. But I have to recognize this high level of love that's already inside of me. Now it's time for us to free that love and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest his love in my heart. I want you to open your Bibles up. I don't have these verses on the data projector. I asked Pastor Larry this morning, said, would you please give me your strong concordance? I want to check something that I've never checked before. I want you to go to St. Matthew chapter number 5. And we love Pastor Larry and Pastor Krista. We're thankful for them hosting the MFI. He brags about the wonderful team that he has here, and we speak blessings upon the team, and we speak blessings upon them too. Amen? All right, listen to me right now. I began looking at this, and I want you to look at this right here. Matthew chapter number 5. Verses 43. I'm reading now from the New King James Version. I had shared before you with the New Living Translation. But this is the word. Now you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Very good back there. I speak blessings upon you guys. Look at verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Well, in English, that's all right. I love my dog. All right. I love my cat. I love my car. I can love them like that, Lord. I love fried chicken. I love fried chicken. Where I grew up, fried chicken was king. All right. She laughs at me. I've never met a chicken I didn't like. I found some to be a little bit more tougher than others. In Costa Rica, when I went to language school there, when we went to language school, those chickens run up and down mountains. And so those thighs, those legs were tough. I mean, they were tough. But I still bit into them. You understand that? I still bit into it. All right. And so I love fried chicken. But look over here now. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And I wanted to make sure, what word was used? Was it Eros? No. Was it Sturgio? No. Was it Phileo? No. Agape. Why? Everybody was made in the image of God. And God loves the whole world. I said, God loves the whole world. And I said, God loves the whole world. And I know that at times we've been hurt. We've been disappointed, we've been abused, and we don't like the abuser, but the Lord is coming along and saying, what I want you to know is, yes, they hurt you, that was wrong, but I want you to know, I still love them. In fact, I want you to realize that it's just not me loving them. I want you to love them. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what I want you to do. And the Lord said, look, that's my love, and you can do that because I poured out my love into your heart and into your life. And if you will come along and get healed, if you will come along and let Let the spirit of forgiveness flow through you, because who of us has not sinned before God? The only people that cannot forgive in the life is this, the ones who's forgotten about how much God forgave them. Every one of us have a past. Every one of us have a past. Did we earn salvation? And the answer is, it was by the grace of God. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave. And he said, if you're my children now, what I want you to do, I want you to learn to bless those who curse you. I want you to learn to do good to those who hate you. I want you to learn to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And the reason is, listen, because what you sow is what you reap. Help me now, I'm preaching the truth. If you sow love, what do you receive? If you sow forgiveness, what do you receive? If you sow unforgiveness, what do you receive? Unforgiveness. If you sow hate, what do you receive? So the Lord comes along and now says, through my ability, through my anointing, through the spirit that I've given you right now, when people don't love you, hey, when people hurt you or whatever, hey, love your enemy. Sow love anyway. Sow love there. Why? Because in turn, that's what you receive. Now, I will be honest, I've been preaching over 50-something years. But today is the very first day that I got the Greek, the concordance out and said, Larry, please, I need this concordance because I wanted to make sure. And when I saw the number 25, I said, oh, that's in Agape Land right there. Love your enemy. Do good. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Instead of going around and telling everybody, no, I'm to get on my knees and pray for those. I said, I'm to get on my knees and pray for those. I said, I'm to get on my knees and pray for those. I'm to get on my knees and pray for them. Why? What I'm sowing is what I'm going to reap. Do you understand that? Because in a moment of anger, in a moment of madness, I can come along and sow seeds that come along. I lose my temper. I lose my cool. And I come along and start, where do these things come from? All it happened when you got mad and you sold stuff that you didn't know about. Oh, in a moment of time there, we can hurt all kinds of people. And the problem is later on, that those very same seeds come back to us. Do you understand that? Therefore, the Lord comes along and says, all right now, Johnny, hey, I want you to forgive. I want you to bless. I want you to do good, because that's what you're sowing. That's what you're going to get. Amen? Oh, God, okay, all right. Okay. Oh, Larry, the time is flowing. Am I okay? Am I okay? All right. All right. But listen to this right here now. All right. Verse 45 over here. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his son, S-U-N, rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
For you, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The example that we have of Jesus on the cross, unjustly accused, the unrighteous rulers of the time, unrighteous Pharisees and Sadducees and all those different kind of sees, they come along and they say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He comes along now to the Roman soldiers there, and they look, he looks down upon all of them, and he says, Lord, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And Lord, in the name of Jesus. So what's the choice? We only got two choices. To forgive or not to forgive. To bless or to curse. To do right or do wrong. We have to make a decision. What about my husband? Forgive. What about my wife? Forgive. What about my children? Forgive. Well, what about that person at work that's talking? Forgive. Well, what about this situation? Forgive. Why? Because as you sow that, you will receive that. Does that mean that they're right? No, it doesn't mean that they're right. Can I speak the truth in love? Yes. Not when you're mad. Speak the truth in love. Yes. But that doesn't mean that we have to agree with the person either. But we always can't get wrong in the wrong spirit, because two wrongs never make a right. So, Pastor John, you're talking about a lot of forgiving. Yeah, I'm talking about a lot of forgiving. But I still want you to remember how much sin did God have to forgive you. I want you to close your eyes, and we're about to come to a close, and I'm going to be giving the communion in about 5 seconds. About 5 minutes. And I want to ask right now, do you have any unforgiveness toward anybody in your life? You have a choice to hold on to it, remain mad, remain in bitterness, losing the joy of the Lord completely, or you have a choice. You have a choice. Now, I'm not here to embarrass anyone in any way whatsoever. That is not what I'm trying to do. And I'm not going to ask you to say the name of the person in any way. Please, you understand that. That's not what I'm here to do.
Krista, give me one right here, love. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, at times I go to my prayer closet, and it's not a closet, but it's a private place. I go and say, Lord, show me, Lord, if I have any unforgiveness inside of me. And at times I can examine my heart and there's no one there. Then there's other times something has happened within the last few days or whatever, and I haven't prayed that prayer, and the Lord brings that thought up to me, that person up to me. And I start praying. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive that person. I ask you to forgive them. Number two, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to bless them. Not because what they did was right, Lord, but I ask you to bless them, Lord. Whoever you bless has to get better. And I'm here, Lord, speaking blessing upon them. And the third prayer is, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, heal, Lord, first of all, Lord, forgive me for my attitudes and my words and my actions toward them, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And fourth is, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to heal my heart, heal my heart, heal my heart, Lord, heal it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. There's been times in my life I've had to pray that prayer 3, 4, 5 days in a row until all the pain is gone. And when the pain is gone, I know everything's going to be all right. Because some things, I can forgive it here, but my mind doesn't catch up with it. The devil keeps wanting me to work on my mind. So you haven't forgiven. Remember that. Said, no, Lord, okay. Lord, keep on. I keep praying until little by little all the pain is gone and compassion comes into my heart. Because I realize God loves them. And I don't want to see them lost. I don't want them to go to hell. Everyone, close your eyes right now. I'm just going to ask you right now, while I've been preaching, I'm not going to embarrass you anyway. If there's somebody that you need to forgive right now, I just want you to raise your hand up and put it down. Put your hand up and put it down. Put your hand up and put it down. Okay, I saw all the hands right now. The Lord saw that. I'm going to ask you to start praying right now. Lord, I ask you to forgive this person. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you don't have to pray out loud, but you can pray in your mind and your heart. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now I bring this person to you. That's hurt me, that's disappointed me, my Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them, I pray in Jesus' name. And secondly, Lord, I ask you to bless them. Oh, I ask you to bless them, my Lord. I ask you to bless them, my Lord, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, Lord. We speak your blessings upon them. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my attitudes, my words, and my actions toward them, my Lord. Forgive me, my Lord. They may have been wrong, but Lord, I don't want to remain long wrong, Lord, because two wrongs never make a right. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ.
And Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, anoint me with fresh oil and heal my heart and heal my life. Heal me, Lord, from the inside and out. Lord, give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No one looking around with your head still bowed just for a few moments. Someone told me yesterday I had hurt some people. And I say this in the name of Jesus, I'm sorry. I speak blessings upon you. I speak God's love upon you. I speak God's mercy upon you. And God's restoration and grace upon you. Be whole. In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, may you take your container here. This represents His broken body. Kevin Connor, my spiritual father, he taught me it's the bread of His presence. And when we take this, we're recognizing the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And through Jesus, we can do all these things. Through Jesus, we can love. Through Jesus, we can forgive. Through Jesus, we can bless. Lord, we recognize your presence right now. And through your love and through your grace and through your mercy and through your forgiveness, Lord, we take it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let's now take the bread. Lord, with the juice, Lord, you said this is the cup, Lord. This is the cup of the New Testament, the new covenant, my Lord. This is for my sins, Lord. This is for the sins of the world. And these are even for the sins, Lord, of the people who've hurt me. And to recognize, Lord, that the church is more than just an individual. I'm going to ask you to exchange your cup right now with somebody else inside the church if you can, sweetheart. It's the same blood. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the blood applied. Through His blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Through His blood, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Through His blood, we have eternal life. Through His blood, hallelujah, we're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to fear. Through His blood, by His stripes, by His blood. Let's now drink the cup right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I speak your blessings right now. Hallelujah. Lord, I speak God hope. Oh, I keep healing, my Lord. I speak blessings right now. I speak growth in our local church, my Lord. Oh, my God. Kila la boho shanda la boho kandata la baya. Kila la boho shanda la baya. And Lord, in the good times, we can love you and honor you. And in the difficult times, Lord, we can love you and honor you. Because we have this promise, my Lord. You will never, never, never leave us. And you will never, 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 never forsake. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for your love and attention today. Let's close out with a song. God bless you all.